Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
What we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
I love reading the headlines on the stories about what we're going to be talking about next on Air Talk, because they're just fascinating. A tiny particle's wobble could upend the known laws of physics, from the New York Times. Is the standard model of physics now broken, from Scientific American. And from National Geographic, new experiment hints that a particle breaks the known laws of physics. Dramatic headlines indeed, and a dramatic story that we're going to dive into next on Air Talk. New research from the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory in Illinois has found that a tiny subatomic particle appears to be disobeying the laws of physics. This could open up a host of new questions about the nature of our universe. Joining us to talk about the findings, science reporter for the New York Times, author of the piece with that wonderful headline, is Dennis Overby. Dennis, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So if you would, please give us the digest of what this behavior of a muon showed that's raised this question about the laws of physics.
Right. Well, a muon is a tiny particle that probably nobody has ever heard of except people like Sean and I, and it turns out that by measuring its behavior in this magnetic field, it departed just slightly, imperceptibly, but definitely from the predictions of the best theory that physicists have, something called the standard model, which explains all the particles and forces in the universe that people have been able to measure or investigate in a laboratory so far. And this model, the standard model, has reigned supreme in physics for 50 years, and it works too well. Physicists are frustrated because they would like to go beyond the standard model, because great as it is, it leaves a whole bunch of really important deep questions about the universe totally unanswered.
And Dennis, does this rise to the level of what we would call a scientific discovery?
So it doesn't rise to the level of a scientific discovery yet. It's not. It's statistically, the measurements have about one chance in 40,000 of being a statistical fluke, which sounds pretty good, except actually, I don't think you would get on an airplane that crashed once out of every 40,000 times it took off. So physicists have a higher standard, which is more like one in every million or so. Actually, it's 3 out of every 10 million, but it's called 5 sigma, and that's kind of the gold standard they try to get to. But everybody agrees that it's promising. This experiment was a repeat of an experiment that was done 20 years ago at a place called Brookhaven in Long Island. And then it attracted a lot of interest because it looked like, well, they finally found a discrepancy, something that the standard model doesn't explain. And the theorists can wedge all kinds of crazy things into that little unknown space, all kinds of strange particles, phenomena in the universe. They could explain a whole lot. It could bear on the question of what the dark matter is that that makes up a quarter of the universe by weight, or why there's matter in the universe instead of nothing at all. I mean, these are big questions that physicists are frustrated they don't have an answer yet. And we need more data.
We're talking with New York Times science reporter Dennis Overby. Also with us, theoretical physicist at Caltech in Pasadena, Sean Carroll. Thank you so much, Professor Carroll, for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
So describe a bit more about how this particle going through a magnetic field behaved unexpectedly. What specifically did it do that was weird?
Well, you can think of a particle like the muon. It's a charged particle, right? It has some electric charge, and it's spinning like a spinning top. Whenever you take electric charge and move it, you create a magnetic field. So it's like a little magnet, and you can watch how strong that magnetic field is by putting the muon in another magnetic field and watching it spin around. And so then you can calculate, given the standard model of particle physics, exactly how fast the muon is supposed to be spinning around, and then measure how fast it is spinning around. And to exquisite precision, they agree, but not quite. So that's the evidence that somehow there's a new particle that interacts very, very, very delicately with the muon and is just making it wobble a little bit faster than you'd usually predict.
And what are the potential ways of identifying that other unknown particle?
Sadly, that's hard. So, you know, sometimes you come up with a big new physics experiment, discovery that surprises you, and you're puzzled. You have no idea how to possibly explain this. With this guy, sadly, the problem is that it's too easy to explain. There's multiple different ways that you could introduce a new particle that would give rise to an effect like this. So first thing we have to do is to make sure that it's really there, which is not 100% sure yet, as Dennis said. And the second thing we then need to do is to follow up with other experiments that would probe the same kind of regime in different ways, maybe at a Large Hadron Collider in Geneva or with a completely different new particle accelerator, so we can pin down which of the various options is probably the right one.
And how would that particle that is potentially causing this wobble effect on the muon, how would that help to explain an undiscovered law of physics? I mean, how would its existence do that?
Yeah, I mean, look, to be perfectly honest, I hate to be that guy, but this is not upending the known laws of physics. It's adding a little bit. It's adding a new ingredient to the laws of physics. And like Dennis says, the problem with the standard model is that it's too good. It just fits all of the data, but we know that it's not the final answer, right? It doesn't include gravity, it doesn't explain dark matter, things like that. So any little clue for new particles, new forces beyond the standard model could help explain some of the big puzzles we have out there. You know, if there's a new particle, maybe it couples to matter and antimatter differently. Maybe it will couple to dark matter and help us find that. So as soon as you get any little hint of physics beyond the standard model, physicists are going to get very excited about the prospects of using that hint to discover even more things.
We're talking with Caltech theoretical physicist Sean Carroll with us on Air Talk, and we're taking your questions. I know that there are physicists listening, amateur and professional as well. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, but you don't even need to be an amateur physicist to call in. Just make your question known right now. You can post it on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, tweet at AirTalk, or post on the AirTalk Facebook page, 866-893-5722. With a discovery like this, Sean Carroll, and you're talking about the Large Hadron Collider, other sorts of places where additional experiments could be done, is this the kind of research that would likely take many, many years to find what would be having this effect?
Yeah, you know, probably. Maybe we'll get lucky and some new technique will help us out on a shorter time scale than that. But all of these things are the results of hundreds of physicists pushing their capabilities experimentally and theoretically to the very limits. So if anything were easy to find or be able to find very, very quickly, they would have done it already. Anything that would be the next step is going to be something that we're going to creep on up on relatively slowly, unless the universe is really, really super nice to us.
All right, 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. We look forward to your questions. Bill in the San Gabriel asks, could this be dark matter at the atomic level? Professor Carroll.
No, it's not. It could be related to dark matter. It's going to be something that interacts noticeably enough with the muon that it affects its magnetic field. So it's more likely to be an electrically charged particle. And dark matter is dark. So dark matter is not electrically charged as far as we know. Now, even when as I'm saying those words out loud, I should say all of this should be begun with a probably out there, you know, because particle physicists are very, very clever. Nature is very, very clever. They can always try to, you know, fool me in ways that were unanticipated, but it doesn't seem to be directly a candidate for dark matter, which is good. We would like there to be dark matter and other new particles. That's more fun.
And how long ago was the muon discovered?
Oh, the muon was discovered in the 1930s. It was discovered right here in Pasadena at Caltech, actually, from cosmic rays hitting the atmosphere, creating muons, which then scream down from the top of the Earth's atmosphere to a little detector on the top of a building at Caltech.
Wow, great to know that that's yet another claim to fame of Caltech is the observation of the muon. 866-893-KPECC. You can tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Professor Carroll, this kind of a story that crosses over, you know, from the scientific literature into mainstream news, I assume is good for physics because, you know, it piques people's interest. It, what sort of an effect does it have on your specialty?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're driven by discoveries and by being surprised. You know, a theorist such as myself is only as good as the data that we have to think about and analyze. And like we said, you know, the theorists have been a little bit ahead of the game in the past several decades where we have theories that explain things. And paradoxically, that's annoying to physicists. We want there to be phenomena that we don't know the explanation for because that's the puzzle that we want to solve. So not only does a discovery like this get the public excited, there's new stuff that we're learning, that's very, very fun, but it also gets physicists excited. You know, this if this turns out to be true, it's going to be the biggest news in particle physics in a long, long time.
866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Professor Carroll, what do you would be the natural next sort of experimental thing to do? Would it be with the Large Hadron Collider or some other sort of experiment which would be the natural successor to this?
Yeah, I think the obvious thing to do is to make absolutely sure that this experiment is completely correct, right? So we want to do the same experiment, the same phenomenon, what we want to measure, but with a different experimental setup. And there are plans to do that. It will take years, but that's definitely something that is on the agenda. And then what you would like then is for theorists to think very hard about what are the best possible candidates to explain this. And that can give clues to the experimenters at places like the Large Hadron Collider for what to look for. The Large Hadron Collider is great, but it's a bit of a brute force kind of thing. You smash protons together with the highest possible energies, make a huge explosion of particles coming out, and then you sift through the debris to look for new things. So if you know what to look for, it can actually help you in the search a little bit.
We have Ralph writing on the AirTalk page, if the Holy Grail of physics is a grand unified theory, at what point do we acknowledge the possibility there could very well be entire layers of the universe which simply elude and are beyond human perception, keeping comprehensive understanding forever at bay? Professor Carroll?
Well, we always acknowledge that. You know, it's not a new thing, but we don't. That's not a very helpful acknowledgement because there's still plenty that we can discover. It's not a matter of saying, well, it's either we're going to find the ultimate thing in the next few months or we pack up and go home. We try to discover everything we can. We try to explain everything we can. We're nowhere near done in this quest that's been going on for over 2,500 years.
Roy in Los Angeles asks, how does this tie into our understanding of mass, Professor?
We think we understand mass pretty well, actually. You know, it comes from a lot of different sources. This goes back to Einstein pointing out that energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. So the mass of a particle is a kind of energy that can come from different places. The mass of an electron comes from the Higgs boson, that particle that we discovered at the Large Hadron Collider in 2012. The mass of the proton, on the other hand, comes from the strong nuclear force, which is a completely different thing. So we think we have all that pretty much under control, but, you know, nature can always still surprise us.
I want to thank you so much, Professor Sean Carroll, for joining us, theoretical physicist at Caltech. Thank you, sir. Wonderful explanation about this unexplained muon experimental behavior. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Fred.
Appreciate it. And our thanks to New York Times science reporter Dennis Overby, who wrote the piece, Finding from Particle Research Could Rewrite Known Laws of Physics. You're listening to Air Talk on KPCC. I want to hear from you if you've recently returned to a long work commute, or you are looking at that likely happening when the state reopens in mid-June. What are your thoughts about that? If you're someone who used to have a long commute and have decided, I'm not going to do that anymore, I've changed careers, or I'm going to work from home, please share with us your experience. We want to get a wide range of perspectives about the notorious Southern California commute to and from work. How has it changed for you? And are you looking at returning to what you endured before the pandemic? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Back in 90 seconds.
Support comes from Ciclovia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclovia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclovia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.